Tuesday the 3rd of February, Test Shabbat, Rabbi Yosef Grunfeld, the Mazel of Shabbat.
Good morning to you all, and I congratulate you on braving this incredible inclement, is that the right word? That's a good word, huh? Inclement weather. It's amazing that you've all turned up. Anyhow, today is, well, it's not Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, but we're already in the middle of the month of Shvat, and I said I'd speak on the Mazel of Shvat. Well, I don't know if you know what the Mazel of Shvat is. The Mazel of Shvat is a deli. It's a bucket. And of course the question is, what has a bucket got to do with a month of Shvat? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If it's in midwinter, you'd need a bucket and a spade to dig into the snow and to dig out the ice, dig yourself out of the snow and the ice. I do understand that pshat, but that's not really the pshat I had intended to deliver today. There is another pshat. Well, we need to examine what's contained in the month of Shvat to understand what the month of Shvat is. So what's contained in the month of Shvat? In the month of Shvat is contained Tu B'Shvat. But again, it's still not clear what the connection is between Tu B'Shvat and a bucket. So let's begin to explore. The first mitzvah Klal Yisrael were given is Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, the union of Kiddush HaChodesh, which again is very puzzling. Yes, okay. Which again is very puzzling, because I don't know if I was the Rebbeinu Shleim, I think I would pick a different mitzvah. The idea of starting a mitzvah of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, of all the mitzvahs to choose the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, seems to be a bit strange. And to answer this question, we need to examine the lives of two of the principal players in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the story of the forging of Egypt as a nation, and the story of forging Klal Yisrael as a nation. And contrast the two. Let's contrast Avraham Avinu to Paroh. By the way, these thoughts which I'm expressing are not my own. They're the thoughts of Rav Moshe Shapiro, I once heard from Bishmoy. When Avraham Avinu pleads for the city of Sodom, he says the following: Hinei no ha'alti ledaber el Hashem va'anoichi ofo va'efo efer. Here I stand in front of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Who am I to plead for Sodom in comparison to the Rebbeinu Shleilam? I'm nothing. I'm ofo va'efo. I'm dust or earth and ashes. What's the significance of dust and ashes? Very powerful expression. Ofo va'efo. What's Avraham Avinu trying to express by using these adjectives or these nouns? So Rav Moshe brought the story of Elisha, a very famous story in Tanakh. Story of Elisha. And a woman comes up to him. She's an almona. And she has two sons. And her husband left her destitute with lots of chovas, lots of debt. And the creditors are threatening to take her children away if she doesn't pay up. So she comes desperately to Elisha Hanavi and asks Elisha to help her. And Elisha says, famous story, Elisha says to her, do you have my yesh lach baboyis, what do you have in the house? And she tells her to collect all the vessels. She doesn't have enough vessels. And she only has one small bottle of oil, and he says to her, go and take this bottle of oil and borrow as many, many vessels as you can from your neighbors and start filling it up. She says, I only have one small bottle of oil. He says, don't worry, you just pour. So what happens, a famous nest, she has her own private Hanukkah nest, she pours into the barrels one by one. And what happens is that all the oil keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, even though there was only enough for a tiny bit. It just keeps on going until all the vessels which she had borrowed, all the barrels which she had borrowed are full. She's able to sell those barrels, and with that she pays off her debt. So the question is, how should she pour into the barrels? What would you have said? I would have said, that the best way to pour into the barrels is to line up the barrels. What's the easiest and most practical way to pour into the barrels? You've got many, many barrels you have to fill up, right? And they're going to be very, very heavy once they're full. So the best way to fill them up is to line them up empty and walk up to the barrels and pour. And there's going to be oil shown there, so it'll go on and on. You just walk from one to the other, the oil keeps on pouring and pouring and pouring, you fill them all up. That is not what Elisha instructed the Almona to do. He says, "V'hamole tasi'i." When you have actually filled up the barrel, what you should do is to go to the barrel, fill it, move it, and bring the next barrel to you, fill it, move it, and keep bringing the barrels towards you, move them, fill them, and move them. Instead of telling her to line up all the empty barrels and fill them one by one, he tells her to bring each barrel to her and pour. Very, very strange way of doing it, and very impractical. What's the reason? In fact, Rashi asks the kasha, and Rashi gives the following answer. It says, Rashi, the fisha kodesh bochu oisehu kamayon, ve'ein derech mayin lozuzoi mimkoimoi. Says Rashi, because this oil was an oil shoness, and it was like a mayon, an endless source. It's a makoya, it's a makoya of brocha, and it was pouring and pouring and pouring. It was actually endless, limitless. In fact, I once saw, absolutely obvious, Rabbeinu Wine, Taka says that it, if it was an endless source, it was a total endless source, so why did it stop? The answer is it stopped because you didn't have enough barrels. Yeah, she had a limited number of barrels. So according to the number of barrels, she poured. So therefore, it had to stop. She had nothing else to pour it into. But in actual fact, it was shemesh ones, and it was a makoya habrocha. And as a source, it's like a mayon. A mayon never stops. What's the difference between a mayon and a well, a bear and a mayon? A bear has a limited source. It can dry up. But a mayon never dries up. It's a constant. So you've gone to the makoya. You've gone to the source. It never dries up. Says Rashi, Lefisha Kodesh Bochu Oisehu Kamayon Ve'ein Derech Mayon Lozuzoimim Koimoy. You don't pluck up. You don't uproot a mayon. You don't uproot a source. You go to the source. The source doesn't come to you. And since this barrel of oil, since this bottle of oil, this jug of oil, was a makoya, was a mayon, an endless source of brocha, you don't take the mayon to the barrels, the barrels have to come to the mayon. Lefi, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Oiseu Kamayon, Ve'ein Derech Mayon Lozuzoi Mimkoimai. You go to the source doesn't come to you. Rashi asks the question, gives an answer. When you have a limitless supply of abundance, you go to that source. Avraham Avinu recognized his creator. He recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Makor HaChokhmah, as the endless source of Chokhmah. So he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're a never-ending source of abundance. And therefore, I'm a constant mahalach. A yid has to be a constant mahalach. He's constantly moving towards the source. And he's never satisfied with what he's got. Hinei anoichi, what's the difference between offer and efer? Offer is potential. The earth contains all the nutrients, but you don't see anything. Look at the earth, it's nothing. There's nothing there. But the earth has the potential for growth. So offer always represents potential. Efer is the result of burning something which once was and is nothing left. It's the contrast between the potential which has yet to be and something which was and is not there anymore. So he says, Hinei noichi offer vo efer, says Avraham Avinu, if I look at myself and I'm in front of the Mekor HaChokhmah, whatever I've learnt already, I'm coming to the source. It's an endless source. It's an endless mayon. I have to be a mahalech. I have to go to the source. The source doesn't come to me. The source is endless. So whenever I stand in front of Rabbi Shimon and I learn some of his Torah, I learn some of his Chochmah, If I look at myself that I've arrived and I've achieved, then I'll never go back. It's been shame for here. I've got everything. I'll never go back. That, but I know that in comparison what there still is to come, in comparison of the potential that there still is, I'm a fair in comparison to what I've learned. What I've learned, although it's fantastic, but nevertheless, I've got to look at it as if I've learned nothing in comparison to what there still is to learn. So there's a constant relationship of offer and afer, offer and afer. If I consider myself having arrived and not as afer, as nothing in comparison to Ribbono Shel'olam, I will never go back to more. And therefore, Avraham Avinu always describes himself as a yid. A yid is a constant mevakish. A yid is a constant mahalach, and he's never satisfied, and he's always relating himself in terms of offer for afer, afer for offer. And we always build on our achievements of yesterday, but only if we consider them as nothing in comparison to what we can still achieve. It was because of this understanding that Avraham Avinu recognized himself, when he recognized that there's a Baal Habira, that Avraham Avinu recognized himself as a Ribbono Shel'olam, that there's a Baal Habira, and there's a constant need to find out more. When you recognize that, the Ribbono Shel'olam said, Lech Lecho. Lech Lecho. The idea of Lech Lecho is not that you should go to another country. Lech Lecho describes, if you ask me to describe in two words, what is a Yid? A Yid is Lech Lecho. A Yid is a constant mahalach. He's never satisfied. He has a mevakish, he has a tremendous urge to learn more. Let's turn to Farai. Pasuk in Yecheskel says the following. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, Pasuk in Yecheskel, on the 12th of the month, the word of Hashem came to me saying, Koyama Hashem Elakim, Hinni Negdecho, I'm against you, Farai, king of Egypt, Melech Mitzrayim. What did Farai say? Li Yo'iri Va'ani Asisini. The Yo'oya, that's the Nile, is mine. Va'ani Asisini, and I created myself. Says the Ribbono Shel'olam, I'm against you. Pared made himself into a Getchka, into a god. I am the source. Li Yairi, I'm the source. What, the Nile always represented the economic wealth of the Egyptians. If you want to know where does your wealth come from, Li Yairi, I'm the source. I'm the source of all the economic wealth of Mitzrayim. The Nile is mine. Vani Asisina, I made myself. So if you want to know who Mitzrayim is, we are the source. In other words, we have everything. Everything belongs to us. We are the power. In other words, there's no halicha. No halicha at all. Somebody who says, and that represents Egypt. Para is the incarnation of the right word. What's the right word? The personification. The personification. Yes, that's the word. Para is the personification of Egypt. When he says, Li Ra'iri Vani Asisani Anisisini, that means that's Egypt. Egypt has nothing to learn from anybody. We have arrived. We are the power of the world. We have nothing to learn from anybody. You know what that leads to? There's no halicha. If there's no halicha, it leads to stagnation. There's no need to grow. It's the antithesis of anoichi ofo va'eva. It's just the opposite. And that's why Mitzrayim, it's called Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, said Rav Moshe, comes from the word Mitzorim. Meitzah is hemmed in. It's borders. You're hemmed in. Meitzah is borders. Mitzrayim comes from the word Meitzah. You are hemmed in because you've got nowhere to go. I've arrived. I can't go anymore. Li Ya'ori Vani Asisini. Klal Yisrael is just the opposite. Vayeshev Yaakov, says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalvo, Kofs Yosef. A Yid who wants to remain in a matzah from Vayeshev, from Yeshiva, and not Halicha, then Kofsalov Rugzei Shel Yosef. That's not the translation of a Yid. Vayeshev, Bikish Yaakov Leishev Yishalva. So Rabbi Yishev wanted to tell him that the Klal Yisrael, as an Av to Klal Yisrael, that's not the right approach. Vayeshev, that's not the right approach. Umoisha b'nei Yisrael asher yoshvu mitzrayim shloishim shona v'da'aba meir shona. Yeah? Or shloishim, sorry. Are you about Koira?
No.
Yeah. Shnei mikro. Yeah? Yeah. Umoisha b'nei Yisrael, 430 years of yeshiva. That's terrible. That's Mitzrayim. That's the influence of Mitzrayim. Can't have that. B'nai Yisrael were in danger of total stagnation. They needed immediate geula. Says the Rabbeinu Shalom, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. The first mitzvah that we have to give you is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Chidosh. The world's calendar year follows the solar system. The idea of Shona as opposed to Chodesh. The translation of the word Shona comes from Shinun. Shinun is repetition. V'shinamtam levanecho. You should repeat to your children. V'shinamtam levanecho. You should repeat. It's the idea of repetition. V'noshamtam ba'oret. You'll become, as they translate, you will wax us old in the land. The danger of Klal Yisrael, when they get into Eretz Yisrael, is v'noshamtam ba'oret. You will wax us old in the land. When you wax us old, you excuse the old-fashioned expression, you know what I mean. But what's the idea? It's shinun, it's constant repetition. It's repetition, you become used to it. You become bored. When you become bored, it becomes old. And you fall asleep. Maybe that's the same with Kodesh Yoshua. You fall asleep. Becomes old and shinna, and you fall asleep. There's no chiddush. If there's no chiddush, it's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So the Torah says you have to be a mechadesh. There's a constant mahalach, and therefore I want you to follow the moon. The moon waxes and wanes, as it were. Of course it doesn't really, but in our eyes that's what it looks like. As opposed to the sun is a constant. The moon every month begins small and starts and it gets bigger, and as soon as it gets bigger, it gets small again. And the moon is a symbol of Ofer Va'efer, Ofer Va'efer, Ofer Va'efer. And if we're in a matzav of Moshe B'nai Yisrael, if we're in a matzav of Yeshev Yaakov, or Bikish Yaakov Leishev Yishalva, and you're so influenced by Mitzrayim and Mitzorim, then the first mitzvah I have to give you to understand what is the taich of a yid. And now I'm giving to Klal Yisrael, you have to understand the taich of a yid is Lech Lecha. And Lech Lecha has to begin, the foundations of a nation is so important that the first mitzvah which has to be given is a Lech Lecha Dika mitzvah, one of Chodesh and one of Chidesh. The Torah talks of Ubotim Meleim Kotzuv, Kuromim Vezesim, Vochalto Vesavota. When you've got botim and maleim kol tov and kromim v'zeisim v'chalta v'sevota, you know what happens? You'll stagnate. You'll stagnate to such an extent. You're used to it. Everything comes easy. You get used to it, and you lose the power of chiddush. Hisham elecho pentishcha chasashem asher tzeisicho me'eretz mitzrayim ibeis avodim. If you get into a matzav of a botim maleim kol tov, kromim v'zeisim, and you'll become a v'neshantim ba'oret, you will forget why I took you out of Mitzrayim. And you're returning into a matzav of yeshiva. Beware. When a shanta ba'oret, then you'll have to leave the land. That was the lesson of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is Be'emes I'll leave that out of all. I might finish early, it doesn't matter. Hashem is Be'emes the Mekoy HaBrocha. He's the Mekoy HaBrocha. And in the Mekoy HaBrocha, you know, the terminology used by the mystics is such a thing as mokom and zman and nefesh. Mokom, shana, zman. Mokom, zman, and nefesh. So mokom, zman, and nefesh. There's place, time, and the nefesh itself. Three ideas of place and time in the human being. So we find, whenever we find the idea of mokom, nefesh, and zman, you'll find halicha. So example, what's the symbol of mokom in this world, where the Rabbeinu Shalom is? The place where the Rabbeinu Shalom is in this world is the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is where you find the Rabbeinu Shalom in mokom. So what does it say? The kamta v'olisa. When it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, you've got to go to the Makoya. V'kamta v'olisa, you've got to get up and you've got to go. V'kamta v'olisa. What is the place where the Rabbeinu Shalom finds, where you can find the Rabbeinu Shalom in Zman? The place where you find the Rabbeinu Shalom in Zman is Shabbos. The weekdays we're confined to our daily lives. Shabbos is a time when we can find our neshama, where we can find the Rabbeinu Shalom within us, in Zman. So what does it say? Because Shabbos, l'chu v'nelcho. When it comes to Shabbos, l'chu v'nelcho. You've got to approach the Shabbos. Shabbos is not going to come to you. The Shabbos is another mekoya habrocha. If you want to get the most out of the mekoya habrocha, you've got to understand it. You've got to work for it. You've got to have a halach. You've got to take the Shabbos and work so that the Shabbos should come into you. The Shabbos won't come to you automatically. You've got to get into the Shabbos in order that the Shabbos should have an effect on you. So if there's come to Valisa in Mokom, there's a come to Valisa in Zman, the Chu, Likra Shabbos, Likhu Venecho. And then in Nefesh, for you yourself, the Gemara says, Agra de Pirka Riato. The reward for learning is Riato, is to run to the Shia in inclement weather. And Rashi says that those who ran to the Shia, the majority, I don't apply this to here, but Rashi says the majority didn't understand what the Amora or the Tana was saying. They didn't understand what the Tana was saying. But they ran to the Shia. The idea was that I'm running, I'm going towards Torah, I need to learn. I'll do my best to understand, but I'm a hoilach, I'm not a yoshev. So Agra, the Pirka, is Riata. So you have Mokom, you have Zman, and you have nefesh for the person himself. You run to the Torah, you're a nice offer of Eifer, in order to be able to receive the Mekoy HaChochma. You know, they say a story, a Choshev Yid once met Dain Abramsky in the street, and he went up to Dain Abramsky and said, what a coincidence, what a marvelous coincidence I met you. I had a Shaila which I always wanted to ask you. It's so marvelous that I met you, I want to ask this Shaila. And Dain Abramsky Zeker suddenly Rocha stood up to his full height, and he said to the fellow, Mitarov Tretzmanisht, Tsuarov Gaitman Agutpog. It's like a Voldegemeister. Oh, I just happened to meet you. How nice. I'd like to ask you a Shaila. That means, you know, your Shaila is, you know, let's say, pay. If I happen to meet the Rob, I'll ask you. If I don't, it's not burning within you. It's in a matzav of yeshiva. If I meet the Rav, I'll just remind myself, I met the Rav, haven't I? Mit harov tref menisht. So a Rav, date man. If you're a mahalach, you go to the Mekoyah. Don't wait to meet the Rav. And very often you find, well, in certain circles, the idea of hatch, match, and dispatch. Never heard that expression? Yeah, the Rav comes to you. Hatch, match, and dispatch, the Rav comes to you. That's the whole purpose of a Rav. He's there when you need him, so he comes to you. That's not the idea of a Rav. So a Rav, Gateman. What's that?
Jewish Chronicle,
I think, social page. Yeah, so the social page, that you said it much better, much more eloquently. I just didn't want to mention anything by name, but I know it's for you. Yeah, you got it. The social pages of certain papers, there you see it all. That's not a Rav. So Rav Gateman. What is Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos. We fix the time for yeah, from Maisa of Ilonis for Tu B'Shvat. That's the time when the sap begins to reappear in the trees, right? Growth begins again, and at the moment it looks like potential, but eventually we come into a magnificent fruit, etc., etc. That's the idea of Tu B'Shvat, the idea of growth, constant growth. So the month of Shvat has in it Tu B'Shvat, and in Tu B'Shvat is represented the idea of a Mahalach, a Holach. We're starting again. The idea, there's nothing there now. You look at the step, you don't see anything now. But Tu B'Shvat, we know, is the beginning of growth, the potential. And we're ready now to move once again. It's the idea of a Holach. Just right. So 3 minutes to go. Okay. What's the idea of a bucket? A bucket is used for drawing water. No. When it's empty, it's there for filling again. That's what you use a bucket for a bear for. If it's empty, now you've got to fill it again. That's what the bucket's there. You don't want an empty bucket. You need water. So a bucket, you lower the bucket and you fill it. You empty it and you lower it again. Because that's your source of water. The bucket represents that as soon as it's empty, you want to refill it again. That's the whole concept of a bucket when you're walking through a well. What does the word dli come from? Dal. Dal. I'm impoverished. An empty bucket is no good. If I have an empty bucket, I'm missing my water. It comes from the word dal. Arim Hashem ki dili soni. I feel impoverished. A bucket which is empty is no good. I have to refill it. A person, the month of Shvat, the concept of the month of Shvat is that it's the yisod of Avraham Avinu as a holach. It's this sort of looking for more, of never being satisfied, never being in a matzav of yeshiva, or never being constrained as a mitzrayim or a mitzorim. That's the idea. And now listen to this. Vayhi baribon shona, ba'ashtei osa chodesh, ba'echod lachodesh, hoyel moshe, ba'eres ha'tayr ha'zois. Vayhi baribon shona, ba'ashtei osa chodesh, which is a month of Shvat, Moshe Rabbeinu began to chaza over the Torah for Klal Yisrael again, says the Medrash. Omer lahem, kova ani somoch lamisa, mi sheshoma posuk echod v'shochach yovoy v'shanenu, mi sheshoma parsha achas v'shikshotcho yovoy should come and learn it again. Here's your chance. I'm about to leave the world. The month of Shvat is the idea of learning over again, of doing chazorah, not being complacent. Within the month of Shvat is contained the concept of Dili. Within the month of Shvat is the concept that we understand that Rabbeinu Shlom is the Mekoya HaBrocha. Within the in an atmosphere of the month of Shvat lies the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, before his death, was ready to teach Kali Shul Torah. If you've got something, come from more. If you've got something, this is your chance. Come and learn. This is your chance. So Moshe Rabbeinu represented the Mekoyer HaChochma as far as Kali Shul were concerned, and he was going. Please understand that when it comes to Torah, there's never an end. A Yid is always a Mahalach. It's a Nefi off of Eitah. So the idea of the month of Shvat is to be b'chazik ourselves in Torah, not to be complacent. I think that's a wonderful idea, the idea of the Torah way, the idea of starting your morning every single day and knowing that before I go to work, I'm not satisfied with myself, I must come for more. I've got to come to Mekoyer HaChochma and learn some more for the day. That's the whole concept of the Yid. It's a marvelous idea that represents the Yid with a Mahalach and not a Yoshe.